Welcome to America's Cannabis Conversation. It's time to join the conversation at americascannabisconversation.com. And here's your host, Dan Perkins.
Hello and welcome to America's Cannabis Conversation Quick News Update. I'm Dan Perkins. Madison, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Republicans block medical marijuana from being re-added to the budget. Wisconsin Republicans have again blocked the state from legalizing medical marijuana as part of the governor's budget proposal. This past week, the GOP-controlled Joint Finance Committee voted against a motion to re-add the cannabis reform in the 21-23 budget plan. This action comes 1 month after the same panel first voted to scrap the governor's marijuana proposal, including both recreational and medical legalization from the budget. The cannabis measure were among 400 provisions that were proposed to be eliminated by the panel. The governor argued that the state is becoming more and more of an island as neighboring states adopt new cannabis laws. He framed his medical marijuana measure as an attempt to compromise with Republicans who opposed broader adult use legalization and argued that the sky has not fallen in other states. They have allowed patients to access cannabis. Phoenix, Arizona. Arizona Supreme Court launches site to help people expunge marijuana convictions. The Arizona Supreme Court on Wednesday announced that it has launched a website to help people expunge their past marijuana conviction records. Pursuant to the legalization initiative that voters approved last year, provisions for expunging records that show an arrest, charge, adjudication, conviction, or sentence of certain marijuana-related offenses takes effect July 12, 2021, the court said. The website will help individuals determine if they qualify for expungement and will provide forms and instructions for filing. Arizona voters overwhelmingly approved a measure to legalize adult-use cannabis in last year's election, and sales started in January. A notably quick implementation compared to the speed at which other legal states have rolled out retail operations. But with respect to expungement provisions of the initiative, that's taking some additional time. Now the state Supreme Court is assisting the facilitation of record clearing process with its new website. People who have been convicted of possessing up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana, 6 plants, or marijuana paraphernalia are eligible for expungements. Washington, D.C. Military veterans could discuss state marijuana programs with VA doctors under a new bipartisan congressional bill. A bipartisan duo introduced a congressional bill on Friday that would make clear that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs doctors can discuss state legal marijuana programs with veterans. Representative Connor Lamb and Pete Meyer filed the legislation, titled the Fully Informed Veterans Act, which would allow VA doctors to provide basic information and resources about state legal cannabis programs to veterans. As far as veterans and marijuana-specific legislation is concerned, this is an especially modest reform. The VA secretary shall authorize physicians and other health care providers of the Veterans Health Administration of the Department of Veterans Affairs to provide veterans who are residents of states with state-approved marijuana programs information regarding the participation of such veterans in such program. Let's see what's going on around some states in terms of legislation. The state of Washington has 7 bills, one authorizing home production of recreational marijuana, another one concerning medical marijuana patients and their employees, and another one concerning the possession and transfer of marijuana, marijuana plants, usable marijuana, marijuana-infused products, and marijuana concentrates. Virginia has 9 bills pending: marijuana decriminalization of simple marijuana possession, marijuana offenses driver's license forfeiture, medical marijuana written certification, and a joint study commission for healthcare studying the long-term effects of marijuana. And this has been your America's Cannabis Conversation Quick News. I'm Dan Perkins. Now let's see who's on the program this week. First up is Gary Allen, the CEO of New Frontier Data, which helps cannabis businesses make the right decisions with bucket loads of data. His company is now sponsoring a new segment called Discover, Engage, Compete in the Cannabis Landscape from New Frontier Data, a global leader in cannabis data. Next up is Gabriel Cruz, and he's the Chief Strategy Officer of Dark Digital Group, which has developed a new software program free for customers to help them figure out online what products might be good for them and what their problems are. Next up is a special report with our lifestyle correspondent, Rich Wolkoff, and he's talking to Patricia King, the Soil King. Patricia started Soil King Garden Center to manufacture soil blends designed by growers for growers. And finally, our last guest is somebody who hasn't been on our show for a while, Dr. Jordan Tischler, who helps us understand what so many of us are going through right now, especially as the pandemic winds down and we try to go back to living normal lives, whatever that means. This is Dan Perkins, and let's get this conversation started. Welcome back to the conversation, and we're starting a new segment today that will appear every week, and it's called Discover, Engage, Compete in the Cannabis Landscape. And it's from New Frontier Data, a global leader in cannabis data. And today, we happen to have the CEO, Gary Allen, to talk to us about the new direction for the company and their expanded services for business. Hello, Gary, and thanks for joining us.
Dan, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about this new discover, engage, and compete strategy that your company is now taking on the, and I think I've got this right, the retail cannabis space.
Oh, absolutely. First, just a point of clarification. It's not a new position or a new direction we're going in. It's just an expanded and maturation. It shows the maturation of the industry. We really focused this year, and we're going to be focused for the foreseeable future on ensuring that the operators inside the industry, right? So the retail operators, specifically to this last report and release of our Equio platform, that the operators understand how to discover true insights into their consumers. It's reasonably easy with either your POS system or your seed to sale system to be able to identify what products and who bought those products from last month. What's more, what would be more engaging and important to understand is how are those products selling compared to the population of the consumers and the size of the consumer population around your retail operations. So I may know that I sold 50 of one product last month, but could I have sold 500 of that same product if I was marketing and understood the consumers in and around my dispensary? And so New Frontier Data is really focused this year on providing the retail operators the powerful insights that enable them to, again, and I'm sorry, but discover, engage, and compete in their local market.
Right. I have to tell the audience, I happen to be able to see the new updated Equio product, and I just was amazed because I called Gary and I said, if we both think that should the Congress and the President sign changes in cannabis from a legal standpoint, I've projected that within 30 days there'll be 10,000 new businesses that will be incorporated in the cannabis space. And this particular piece of software, actually, I'm talking to other customers of ours and other potential advertisers about using Gary's software, because you can sit at your desktop and you can play enormous what if scenarios. What if I go to this state, to this city? What's going on? I just think it's phenomenal, and I encourage you to go to newfrontierdata.com and look for the Equio software. And I'm sorry for butting in there, Gary, but I'm just so amazed. I'm amazed at what you've done and the quality of the data. You're absolutely right. It's going to help you discover who your customer is, who your customer should be, and then the engage and compete is all part of the process. So I just tell you, from my standpoint, I think it's a fabulous piece of software.
Well, obviously that's a ringing endorsement, and I really appreciate that, Dan. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit more about Discover.
Sure. So we led this effort this year with the release of our Cannabis Consumer Evolution Report just a few weeks ago. And the idea was to continue to show a consumer-led marketplace evolving and maturing. And the understanding, the discovery of who the true consumer is the first step in doing that and ensuring that we're not simply selling to, we're not selling value or offer-based products to our consumers, that we're actually selling products to our consumers that the consumers want, the consumers enjoy, and they will continue to engage with over and over. And so with the report release of a few weeks ago, we followed that really quickly through with our Equio platform. And the first part of the Discover in the Equio platform, and if you have not tried it yet, please go and you can not only see my demo video within the Equio platform or on our website, but you can have a free trial. When you click on the retail marketplace, the first thing you see, again, under the Discover, is you see a representation of every single active dispensary in the United States. Now, for the first time of any research or data company in our industry, we've aggregated all of that information in one spot.
Wow.
You can see by state how many dispensaries are active. You can also see, by the way, as a side note, how many other licenses are active and what types of licenses there are in that state. We will always continue to communicate to our core constituents, which are the investors, the operators, and the researchers. So discovering what the retail marketplace looks like, you can zoom in to the county of any particular state, and it'll give you information such as what are the top-selling products by product name? What are the top-selling products by category? What's the foot traffic into all of the dispensaries, let's say in the state or the county, or even more, in my opinion, more impressive, the zip code? By understanding what the top products are, what the top product categories are, and how many people are actually visiting dispensaries, you discover very quickly what is the addressable market. Equio takes you one step further then, and it then tells you what are the top types of consumers, the consumer profiles that are buying those products in those areas. And even one more step further, it will tell you how many possible consumers there are in that area, whether it's by state, by county, or by zip code, how many possible consumers could walk in that would buy those products, and what are the kind of the top 5 to 10 kind of retail consumer profiles of your store. So we really, within three clicks, you're able to go from 50,000 feet right down to the storefront.
That's amazing, and the amount of time and resources you must have had to devote to develop this. And as I recall in looking at the program, portions of this program are updated monthly, quarterly, annually, or semi-annually, or perhaps even weekly. So you're constantly increasing the database. Let me ask you something about what you were just talking about, if I could. We said earlier in the program, and you and I have talked on several occasions, how there's going to be a fundamental change in this industry once we get deregulation of cannabis. And right now, a lot of the growth, from what I'm hearing, a lot of the growth in 2020 came from expansion of the number of states where legal medical and legal recreational were expanded. But a lot of the growth came from the illicit market. And now, however, if we get deregulation, declassification, there are people in the industry who feel that there are consumers out there who have decided they're not going to take a chance if it's illegal. And so they're waiting. And so that there could be a new rush of consumers that have not tried the products at all,
now, because it becomes legal, may rapidly expand the market. How do you feel about that statement?
So I think, and if you don't mind, with all respect, that the growth of the cannabis, the retail cannabis market actually did not come from the illicit market last year. The growth of the cannabis market really stemmed from, you know, with the pandemic and the lockdown, it stemmed from the need to reduce anxiety, the need to help and increase sleep, and self, you know, and really medical applications. So here are the numbers, right? We're a data company. The illicit market dropped by about 4%. So now, you know, in 2019, 29% of all consumers were getting products from the illicit markets in each state, and that dropped to 24% in 2020. And that's an important understanding. Through the pandemic, what was understood to be a very social consumer engagement, the consumption of marijuana, really flip-flopped into being obviously a solo consumer engagement, and the understanding that people's enjoyment and people's consumption could be by themselves, could be understood. It took a lot of education over this last year and a half by brands and by products and by dispensaries to the consumer to understand that this product is one that can be beneficial by yourself as well as in groups. And so there was a 42% individual increase in consumption through the pandemic, and that fueled the growth of the cannabis market.
I know we have a doctor that's been on our show for a long time, Dr. Jordan Tischler. You call her Cannabis Doctor on Call, and he's talking about been talking about for several months the incredible rise in anxiety and depression in America. One in four people openly admit they either have severe depression or anxiety, probably brought on more than anything else than by the pandemic. And the cannabis products can help deal with that anxiety. And I think it's a huge market. So so the next time we're gonna have another guest into this Discover, Engage, and Compete in the cannabis landscape, and from Gary's operation. And Gary, thank you for being our kickoff speaker.
Absolutely, Dan. I really appreciate that. And we appreciate the partnership and look forward to talking more.
Thank you very much. And we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins for America's Cannabis Conversation. And I want to tell you about a new sponsor, New Frontier Data, and their Equio amazing software to help you discover, engage, and compete in the cannabis marketplace. For the first time, you have the ability to discover on your computer desktop valuable information on state, city, and even zip codes to assess your opportunities for cannabis investment in that market. Through the Engage portion, you will be able to figure out what products in a marketplace consumers would be interested in buying. And finally, with Compete, you'll be able to look at prospect profiles and find new and innovative opportunities to test new products to attract new customers. Significant change is coming in the cannabis industry, and you need to get ready now and be prepared for this fantastic opportunity ahead of you. For more information on the EQO software for your business, go to newfrontierdata.com and look for the EQO section and expand your horizons. I'm Dan Perkins.
You're listening to America's Cannabis Conversation on W420RadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the conversation. And joining us today is Gabe Cruz, who's going to talk to us about an amazing product that really is designed to help dispensaries and their employees, more specifically perhaps the bud tenders, be more productive and make more right decisions on part of the clients. He's with this is David Cruz, and he's with Upsparrow. Welcome to the conversation, Gabe.
Hey, thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So tell us a little bit about how you came to invent this code?
Sure. Happy to. So my background's actually in software. I was able to start and fundraise for my first ever software company in the video gaming industry when I was about 22, and fell in love with technology and its capabilities in all forms very quickly. But I learned a lot of lessons along the way, and one of them being, you know, that you don't want to overinvest in product and just building pixels. You want to validate your market and validate the needs that are out there first, and then start building. That career led me into working for various VC firms and other clients that were building software, and ended up most recently co-founding and helping grow a company that was a privacy software with Intel Capital. And then Upsparrow came to us, my business partners and I, because we actually had a relatively lackluster experience at a large brand name dispensary that I won't name. And we were a little bit lost in the dispensary experience. We didn't really know what to ask. We didn't really know what we were looking for, to be honest with you. We didn't exactly know where to start. So we had come across this model of virtual consultations for medical procedures, and we thought, well, you know, this has been working for high-dollar medical procedures to kind of help people understand what they're getting into, understand what they're, you know, going to be paying for, and learn about the procedure and all that kind of thing. Could we make that smaller, that experience smaller for, you know, the 80% of people in the U.S. who haven't tried cannabis? And make it easier for them, friendlier for them to be able to, if they're cannabis curious, be able to learn more about the plant, learn its benefits and its values of how they could, you know, be using it instead of just walking into a dispensary similar to a bar and being, you know, the bartender or budtender being saying something like, you know, what can I get you? And most of the time, right, the answer is I actually have no idea for a new user. So that's where it came from.
Okay, super. Thank you. One of the things that we talked about on our pre-show interview was the possible changes that are going to take place should the Congress pass and the president sign a reform of the cannabis laws that would no longer make it a criminal substance. And sure, I had said to you that I've been talking to people, and they thought once, if that happens and the president signs the bill, making it legal, that at least 10,000 companies would file for incorporation over the next 30 days. And who knows?
Sure.
And who knows from where? And I haven't found anybody who disagrees with me yet. They might think the number might be smaller or larger, but there's going to be a major rush. And these are going to be people who are not in the cannabis business today. And they're going to be companies, big companies, who have been sitting on the sidelines waiting for something to happen, and they're going to come in like gangbusters. So what fascinated me about your product was that if am I anywhere near my projection, we're going to be bringing in hundreds of thousands of employees into this space who, by and large, other than by personal use, have no formal experience or education in all the cannabis products and trying to figure out what is the best thing for the prospective client at the dispensary. I saw your software program as a way that new owners who are potentially novices in this business can help educate their customer service people, retailers or whatever you want to call them, and give them a positive experience and grow their business rather quickly. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah. No, I would agree entirely. There's a couple of factors that play into that. The first is obviously the demand, like you were saying, and I agree. I think a lot of companies are going to kind of flood into the space. The first act that will probably make that happen is actually safe banking. So if safe banking passes, it kind of paves the way for the descheduling of cannabis. And I think that it'll probably that, you know, from what I've been hearing from other panels and things like that, descheduling cannabis will probably come at last. But safe banking provides so much more opportunity for lots of businesses that are looking and they're sitting on the sidelines kind of licking their chops at the moment.
We have a policy on this a show from the very beginning. We don't necessarily automatically agree with everything that our guests are saying, but we, if we're going to challenge them, we do it in a respectful way to not to do anything to demean the opinion of the person. I just wanted to bring you one anecdote piece of, well, it's not anecdote, I saw him say it. Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the Senate, has said something mm-hmm. different. He does not want to deal with banking deregulation before he deals with cannabis. And his feeling was that if you do banking first, you may ultimately water down deregulation of the substance. So his most recent pronouncement was, he's contrary to what you're saying, and I'm not saying he's right and you're wrong or you're right and he's wrong. I'm just saying that a fairly influential person has decided in his mind the order should be decriminalize the drug first and then deal with banking. I happen to agree with where he is, because I think that if you decriminalize it, the biggest mistake that I think is going to be made is people are thinking it's going to happen overnight and we're going to be in hog heaven. No, it's going to take a long time to coordinate the laws in the states to whatever they're doing and federally. So it could take several years to really implement it. But people are going to come into this business because they know a change is coming their way. And I still think that your product is just an amazing product. Tell the audience, in the time we have, we've got about 5 minutes left, tell the audience about how your software works for their benefit.
Sure. So there's two sides, and I'll touch a little bit on the new owner side as well. The first side is for the consumer. So the consumer is able to very easily find the dispensary using a landing page technology that we use that Google put out. It basically allows someone to be able to Google for a dispensary near them and find that dispensary. So if it's your dispensary, you know, the Phoenix dispensary, you would come up first with some hacks that we have for search engine optimization. Next is that you fill out a short quiz and you fill out some of your contact information. The quiz basically tells you, or you're telling the dispensary rather, this is why I'm looking at cannabis, recreational, medicinal. This is how I've consumed cannabis before. This is how I prefer to consume cannabis in the future. And anything else I should know or anything else like that. Now, at that point, the consult goes over to the dispensary, and the dispensary basically looks at your quiz and your information and selects products that they think would be most beneficial for you. So when they select those products, they then take the software on their end and they record a quick video, less than 5 minutes, and then they send that off to the customer. The customer then can view the video, select the products that they may want to try, and then they can actually schedule a pickup order or do a delivery order, whichever the dispensary supports. And so from that perspective, if you're a new owner, what it allows you to do is reach people very easily by saying, hey, if you've never used cannabis before and you're curious about it, I'll give you a free consultation just by using the people that are in your text contact list on your phone. And then the other side is, as a more experienced owner, you're able to build a little bit more of a relationship because, as you said, Dan, you know, there's so many people that are going to be coming into this industry. Brand and relationships are going to matter a lot once this becomes deregulated, and people are going to have to put a lot more effort than they currently are into keeping their customer loyal. So that's where we see this is really building that relationship long term.
If I go back to the questionnaire, I just wanted to ask you about if I don't use a cannabis product, I might be using an opioid or whatever, but do you also ask medical information? You know, do you have pain? And if so, where is it? And a pain level? Do you do any of that kind of work?
So we've looked at adding some enhancements to our quiz overall that are more specific ailments and things like that. We want to be a little bit careful because obviously the dispensary can't recommend certain products based on ailments. You know, you kind of have to talk around it. You have to say, oh, this is how this product works for me, or this is what it does for me when I take it. you can't exactly recommend it. So that on top of the fact that we're just getting our HIPAA compliance built in this month, that's something that we're being a little bit more cautious about. But it is something that could certainly happen in the video form.
so that the dispensary can offer this service to a potential customer.
The customer or the consumer does not pay a single thing. That's correct.
Wow. So I can shop online, fill out a questionnaire, get a suggestion of products that might work to help me in whatever I'm trying to deal with. And then I don't pay anything for it. And I can identify the dispensary. And is the video that comes back, is it done by the bud tender or who does it?
Yeah, usually one of the really well-trained bud tenders is going to be the one that's recording the video for you.
Okay. So how widespread is the software available now?
Software is available in every state where there is a dispensary. So we're on the web, and we also have a mobile web version. So any state, any dispensary can use it at the moment.
Do you have any customer satisfaction reviews?
We have a few pilots that are going on right now that are going phenomenally. We actually have built this business before and assisted in building it in dentistry. So far in multiple cases, that's taking treatment acceptance and purchases from, 10% conversion to over 80% conversion. So people are seeing phenomenal results so far.
That's terrific. We've been speaking to Gabe Krause. And he is with Up Pharaoh. And thank you for joining us today, Gabe.
No, appreciate your time, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll have a link to his website on W420RadioNetwork.com. And you can also hear, if you didn't hear all of the interview with Gabe, you can hear that and go to the archive section and look at other programs that have been on over the last almost 100 weeks. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins with more information on the new frontier data software called Equio. Let me ask you this question. Would the success of your business be impacted if you knew the frequency of visits customers spent in competitor stores? Of course it would. The question is, where do you go to get this information? This is just one of the many pieces of information that you can get through the Equio software available at newfrontierdata.com. Remember to click on the Equio button and don't forget to ask for the special offer. I'm Dan Perkins.
America's talking about America's cannabis conversation. Check out the archive of past shows at americascannabisconversation.com. Time now for the lowdown on another high time experience. Here's 420 lifestyle correspondent Rich Walkoff, W420RadioNetwork.com.
Well, folks, it is planting season, and whether you're a novice or a pro, you always welcome the advice of a gardening guru, and we've got one for you today. Let's welcome in Patrick King, the Soil King. You got a garden center in Cloverdale in Northern California, kind of the gateway to the Emerald Triangle. And dude, you've been doing this for a long time, growing and helping people, and I guess it's in your soul, in the soil.
I'm a fifth generation Johnny Appleseed, so it goes generationally back a long time.
Yeah. Well, tell me, you got the big roots, you got the big roots bloom, you got stuff blowing up globally. What's the genesis? How did this all start for you? Because it's just a fascinating story of doing what you love.
I mean, my passion is the only consistency I have in my entire life is cultivating some sort of agriculture from the first memory of being in a strawberry patch at 3 years old. So it's what I do. It's what I love. And my biggest fight is there's no segregation in agriculture. So I don't care what you're growing. There's no difference. And it should not be segregated, whether it's vegetables, if it's perennials, if it's trees, if it's cannabis, if it's mushrooms. There's no segregation in agriculture to me. It shouldn't be separated or segregated.
Okay. You kind of gave me a little more about what you mean. I don't know where you go.
Yeah. So Soil King, that's who I am. 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. I built about 600 homes as a builder developer so far. And just in Cloverdale alone and the surrounding area, I built 67 homes. So during that whole time, that wasn't my passion. Agriculture was my passion. So everybody said, man, you're vegetable gardens, because I grew a lot of vegetables for my community and donated them to all the charitable organizations around us. And back then they said, why are you doing this instead of, you know, why are you building houses instead of doing what your passion was? So then Soil King was coined because I made my own soils back then. And here I am today, you know, what is it? Almost two decades later, and I'm doing exactly what I want to do and what I love to do. And that is help the world fight against pesticides, chemical farming, and the genocide of the soil that's been across the planet. So I want to educate and teach people how to produce their own vegetables, any type of agriculture, feed the soil with great biology, and that same emphasis on biology, fungal, and healthy practices that we put in our soil produces a plant that feeds our soul. And the same biology and fungal in our soil is the same health for our gut. So it mimics that. So when we destroy our soil with products, the herbicides and glyphosates and all the things that people put in, and they were ingrained, taught that it's okay to consume, it's a lie. And my fight in this world is to unravel that onion and give back to what Mother Nature intended and left behind for us.
Man, I love your mantra, changing the world one plant at a time. You go organic. So I know your other reference point is dirt is dead, soil is alive. Now talk about what that means. And you have microbial mixes and probiotics and perlite and all kinds of cool things that help everything grow. And we're talking about cannabis. So specify how that works for us.
So I would say the big... So there's a lot to it. So big paid marketing with like General Hydroponics, Advanced Nutrients, and the big bottle nutrient companies around the world, and the Fox Farms and my competitors, they would love for you to buy their soil, pour this chemical warfare into a plant, and then take that soil and take it to the dumps and throw it away because you cannot reuse it the next year. It's like pouring salt on a slug. The same thing with biology. It kills the biology. So in theory, we want everybody to start reusing their soils. We want them to start doing a lot of cover crops and different things, but keeping that biology alive and building upon healthy communities, because that healthy community of biology keeps out the bad pathogens and the bad stuff. And every year, your soil gets better and better and better. So when you think about growing a plant, I don't think about growing a plant. I grow soil, and that soil produces the plant. So if you grow crappy soil, it's going to produce a crappy plant. If you grow really healthy soil, it's going to produce a really healthy plant. And so, I mean, that's the whole concept of changing the world one plant at a time, is not focusing so much on the plant, but giving it the environment that it needs to live and be productive to the scale that you want it to.
Okay, so if I'm a newbie and I want to grow a plant, and a new cannabis plant, and I've got a little pot and I'm thinking of putting it into a raised bed, give me some of the, 10 commandments or a few of them that I need to know.
Sure, you don't need perlite. Perlite's a no-no unless it's in a nursery application. We use in big root soil. I'm a firm believer on pumice stone is what I love to use. Pumice stone is kind of like a lava rock, but it's clean and white, and it's actually a mineral. So once you get healthy biology, that biology can not only live and reproduce, it's a mini condominium for microbial development. They live and they do their thing and they produce more biology. And on top of that, they can eat and chew the walls. And at the walls, it breaks down into a mineral content. So then they're producing minerals for your plants off it. With perlite, perlite is a waste. So the perlite industry came about as it's weighs nothing. A bag of perlite weighs absolutely nothing. And if a manufacturer of a soil producer can put 30% perlite in that bag, then that weighs nothing. That means they can get 30% more bags on a truck going across the country, which means they get 30% more in sales on the same transfer of load. So they aren't selling you perlite because it's a healthy thing. Perlite was out there for, it was being sold as you need it for aeration. But the reality is my competitors, they don't care about the end consumer. They care about the dollar sign.
That's something I didn't know at all. I thought the opposite. And maybe that's because corporate interests have a different agenda than somebody like yourself who's going all organic. But you have worm casings, castings. I heard you in a YouTube video, which, by the way, you're blowing up on the A Day in the Life of Patrick King, the Soil King, on the YouTube channel. That's awesome stuff. But tell me about microbials and what you need to make that soil come alive and the worm castings and such.
Worm castings, there's another trick to all this, right? It's all unraveling this onion. So whatever you feed the worms, these worm factories, whatever they feed the worms, they poop out, right? So if you're feeding them a bunch of crappy compost or a crappy feed source, they're actually they're putting enzymes and bacteria coming out of them, but also heavy metals or whatever else you're putting into them.
That food chain is ever connected. Now, you've partnered with a lot of cool legacy growers, Redwood Remedies, Mendo Dope, Green Shock Farms, and a bunch of others. That's awesome. So obviously you're doing the right thing. So what are some of the pitfalls that, you know, somebody growing cannabis for the first time or they're relatively new at it, what are some of the mistakes that people commonly make and some of the remedies that you could offer, Patrick?
Very, very easy. The most common mistake is people don't want to spend a lot of money up front, and then they spend all their money plus everybody else's money they can pull in because they end up with problems.
The greenhouse growing and sun grown. What about are there any differences in how you prepare the soil?
No differences on outdoor green. With us, we do the same thing in indoor, outdoor, and greenhouse. We utilize the same products on our propagation styles. The difference between sun grown outdoor and greenhouse is really only the plastic. So with those plastic that you see, the clear plastic on the cover of the greenhouse is UV protected. So you got ultraviolet light protected from the sun, because the plastic, if it's not, the plastic will shred up in the air and destroy itself. So they do that. And with sun grown, that ultraviolet light outdoor, the ultraviolet light is everything to everything. It's the vitamin E for our skin. It's so much health for the planet. So greenhouse is really great, but the best type of greenhouse that I see and I love to do is when the season is open, there's not a lot of exposure to the bad weather elements. I take off that clear cover plastic and I let the sun really just get in and shine.
And you use the big root soil, the organic soil for the vegetation state, and then the big roots bloom when you're flowering. Is that pretty much the way it rolls?
So Big Roots Bloom was designed, came out for light deprivation and greenhouses. And you know, both of them work really well in there, but it has a lot more phosphorus. It's the same thing with more phosphorus instead of veg in the two soils. So when you're trying to do three seasons, three runs in a year with a greenhouse, meaning three harvests, you have to push your plants into flower quickly. You're not growing them big, you're growing them short, and you're trying to get as much yield as you possibly can per square foot. So when we do our greenhouses, I like to do veg plants for about 7 days to 2 weeks, really 10 days to 2 weeks. And then I flip them and I do a lot more plants per square foot in beds. And that more phosphorus in the big roots bloom helps it go into bloom cycle quicker. And it produces it, and it's easier to flip that way. So that's where Big Roots Bloom came into effect. It's for more of the light depth people for greenhouses.
Thanks so much for your time. Congratulations on your success, and continue doing what you do.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
the king, the soil king. And if you missed any part of our conversation or you want to hear it again, go to the W420RadioNetwork.com archive. Hey, I'm Rich Walkoff, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins, and I've got a question for you. If you knew what your customers wanted, would you be more successful? Of course you would, but how can you obtain this valuable information for your success? If you use the Engage portion of the Equio software from New Frontier Data, you won't need to guess what customers want to buy. Guessing can be very challenging and expensive, and more often than not, non-productive. If you want to find out what customers want, then go to newfrontierdata.com and click on the Equio button, and don't forget to ask about the special offer. This is Dan Perkins.
Want to find out if cannabis can help your medical condition? It's time to hear from our cannabis doctor on call.
Welcome back to the conversation. Joining us today is our old friend, our cannabis doctor on call, Dr. Jordan Tischler. Jordan, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you so much. And who are you calling old? Sorry, couldn't resist.
Old, but not in age, but in time.
Exactly. Yes. Sounds lovely.
Yes. So, Doctor, we're facing an issue. You and I talked some time ago about the 1 out of 4 Americans suffering with anxiety or severe depression. And I'm wondering, as we look at the possibility of going back to work, whether that creates all new challenges for you and your practice of people going back to work and their anxiety about being out of the workforce for a year or more trying to go back and fit in.
Absolutely. I think, you know, just the pandemic has, you know, created a range of issues and challenges. And I think the resolution of the pandemic is going to create or is creating a whole new set. You know, first of all, there's the question of, it looks like the pandemic is resolving. Certainly businesses and individuals are kind of acting like that, and we're getting guidance from the CDC that all sort of suggests that the coast, if not clear, is sort of getting clear. But I think that any reasonable person at this point would say, yeah, how sure is that, you know, and do I need to worry that we will be going back ahead of it actually being safe, or are there variants that will come along that are not covered by the various vaccines that are currently deployed? And I don't think we have answers to those questions. And when we don't have answers to those questions, obviously that provokes anxiety. So I think that that's, you know, one level of issue. And then to your point, many of us have been either out of work or working in some very different than usual circumstances, and going back to the office in a very literal fashion, I think, can provoke anxiety about how things were. And, you know, I think everybody has kind of longed so much for the way things were that we haven't really grappled with the fact that things weren't that great beforehand. And so rushing right back into what was not so great is probably less than ideal. And if we were really smart monkeys, which we're not, then we would probably be trying to learn something from the good things that came out of the pandemic changes and trying to carry those forward. And I'm not seeing a lot of that at this point. So I definitely think that this is just the next set of challenges to people and to patients.
Doctor, there's a couple of things that I think have added dramatic confusion and uncertainty, as you described it, to the people, is the vacillation of CDC and the changes in the protocols and what's going on and what's not going to mean. One day we have children going to summer camp have to wear a mask, and all the counselors have to wear a mask, and you have to be self-distancing. And then within 24 to 48 hours, they rescind that whole thing and said, no, you don't need masks. If you've all been vaccinated, just go on. So it creates an element of significant, in my opinion, significant confusion and trust in what they're hearing. I mean, we heard over the last few days, and I'm not trying to be political here, Doctor, I'm just doing what I'm hearing, is that the mainstream media, who criticized Donald Trump for suggesting that, in fact, it was a China virus, and it came out of the Wuhan lab, and they lambasted him and attacked him. And we found out recently that, yeah, it's probably true, but the reason they did it is because they had a vendetta against him, trying to do the best thing for our readers and for the American people. So I think that there's a huge amount of confusion. Dr. Fauci's under quite a significant attack now about his policies and what he's saying. So I think there's a great deal of confusion. And I think the confusion from the people we want to trust the most, the medical professionals, which have, in my opinion, the whole thing's been politicized on a medical standpoint. It's no wonder that people are afraid and don't know really what to do because they don't know what to believe.
I agree with you 100% that the largest problem we're facing, and this is true with both the current and the former administration, is that they have politicized the advice from scientists and medical professionals, and I agree that undermines the credibility of those professionals as well as the institutions that they serve, and I think that that's a huge issue. There, we have to make some amount of leeway for the fact that the facts are accumulating over time, and that may in fact change the point of view of our learned colleagues, but those facts should be things that we can point to in terms of science and published results. But you're right, there's an awful lot of a political overlay, for example, with regard to some of the mask wearing and social distancing. My understanding has been that some of those guidelines were relaxed not because it was necessarily so safe to relax them, but rather to encourage people to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
While I think that people should absolutely get vaccinated, I think that that should be promoted in a way that uses facts and is clearly based on the science of the situation and not on this sort of like, well, if we let them do, take off their masks, because they're vaccinated, that would incentivize people to get vaccinated. I think that if you're looking around at the problems we faced over the last, 15, 18 months, and there's no medical reason that you should not be vaccinated and you don't want to be vaccinated, my personal take is that you need a real discussion about the facts before you make that decision. But I certainly don't think that we should be, trying to sort of incentivize or hoodwink or otherwise kind of lead people down a garden path.
Well,
I don't know how we're going to handle vaccination. I mean, I think that everybody should be vaccinated, but I don't know how that comes about. And I don't know how you promote that in a fair and morally appropriate fashion. And I don't know how you enforce it if you enforce it in certain circumstances where you might want to make sure that people know that they're in a safe crowd of people. That's, I hate to say this, but above my pay grade.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there is a pay grade for that, but what concerns me, Doc, is that we have a situation where the president said he wanted 70% of all adults to be inoculated with the vaccine by July 4th. And we've gotten to, depending upon, again, just horrendous reporting, depending on who you look at, you've got somewhere between 42 and 46% of the population has been vaccinated. Some reports say over 50%. CDC doesn't say that. It says like 42, 43%. And those people that are saying 50%, if you go to the CDC website and you look at all the states and you look at the number of vaccinations that have been given, how many vaccine vials they have as a percentage of the population, there is practically nowhere in the country where we've gotten to 50% of the population. So I think we're being misled. I think what we're beginning to understand, what we heard in the very beginning, the minority population in this country does not trust the vaccine and doesn't trust the government. And they're about 43% of the population. And so what we're seeing is they got the low-hanging fruit of people who were in favor of getting the vaccination, and they got them. But now what you're seeing is that the number of daily vaccinations are dropping. But on top of that, doctor, you're talking about people, the number of deaths and the number of infections is dropping. In fact, England reported today zero deaths. Zero. And they're not anywhere near the percentage of vaccinations as that we are. So now the people are beginning to say, well, wait a minute. If the thing's dying out, the thing's going down, and we haven't even got 50%, why should I get vaccinated? And I understand that as a medical professional, you think it probably is a good idea for everybody. But there is an issue of trust in the minority races in this country. Against the government and their medical procedures. And yet, with less than 50% of the people inoculated with the vaccine, we are at the every state in the country is at the lowest level of cases and deaths than they've had since a year ago. So something's working. And it is maybe a combination of the vaccine and the number of people who got sick and survived. But the idea that we've got these other people who haven't gotten vaccinated for whatever their reason, that we want to try and do everything we can to get them to get vaccinated, why should they give up their personal rights and freedom if they don't believe that it's a good idea?
I will say that I do think that we have some issues around trust in this country, and at least for people of color, that's pretty well justified. Nonetheless, we need to address that by building trust and educating people. And if we are at, you know, roughly 50% vaccination rate, the good news there is that we haven't seen a lot of untoward outcomes as a result of a very large pool of people being vaccinated, and that doesn't even look globally, that's just looking within our own country. So I think that at some point, you know, this will be proven trustworthy regardless of what anybody actually says about it. So I think, you know, there's that issue. I think that there's a large contingent of people who are against vaccines in general. You know, those people, I think, are generally speaking not devotees of data, and I think that that's problematic, you know, because they hopefully, I think they're a smallish group of folk, but they certainly are loud, and I think that you know, tends to gum up the works.
We've been speaking with Dr. Jordan Tischler, our cannabis doctor on call. Thank you for joining us today, doctor.
My pleasure.
If you missed any of this terrific interview with our friend, old friend, Jordan Tischler, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com, go to the archive section, and also look for the guest registry where we'll have all of his contact information that you can reach out to Dr. Jordan.
Thank you for taking part in America's Cannabis Conversation. For the next installment of America's Cannabis Conversation.